Greetings and welcome to Word Magazine. This is Jeff Riddle. I'm the pastor of Christ Reformed Baptist Church in Louisa, Virginia. And I know that over the last month or so, I have not produced a lot of video content. I've just been busy with lots of different things. And part of that's it's baseball season. My son's playing baseball, been to a lot of baseball games. Also, at the end of April, I spent a week over in England teaching a seminary level course on the Gospels. And so I haven't been very consistent lately, but I did want to try to get back in the groove today. And I want to do a final follow up to the James White Thomas Ross debate on the Legacy Standard Bible versus the Authorized Version. Again, I thought that the most significant thing about that debate was the conversation about text, and in particular, Ross's challenging White related to the fact that the modern critical text often has readings in it that don't follow any extant Greek manuscripts consistently. I did about a month ago, I mean, the debate between James White and Thomas Ross was 3 months ago. Then about a month ago, I did two reviews of that debate, just selective reviews. That was in Word Magazine 273 and 274. And I also did a supplementary follow-up looking in particular at the whole question of the sequential variants that one finds in the modern critical text, where you have parts of verses and verses, and in some cases extended readings in the modern critical text that don't match up with any extant manuscripts. So I had promised, I think, in the last review that I had done, that I was going to do one more. And, you know, now it's you know, the debate between White and Ross was back in February, and now it's May. So it's kind of, you know, old news in some ways. And so I don't think I'm going to really be able to do a third part of that review, but I thought I would at least address one issue that came up in that debate. And it was an issue not about text, which I normally deal with in this podcast, but it was a question about translation. And James White was suggesting that the Authorized Version offered inferior translations at several places, and the Legacy Standard Bible had superior translations at various places. And one of the passages that he spoke about was Acts chapter 5 and verse 30. And Acts 5:30 in the Authorized Version reads, by the way, the setting for this is Peter and the other apostles who are answering the Jewish religious leaders when they tell them not to preach. And they say in verse 29, we ought to obey God rather than men. And then they start sharing the gospel in Acts 5:30. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom ye slew and hanged on a tree. So James White said that that Authorized Version reading is not a good rendering of the Greek original. And we're going to look at the Greek in just a second and look at some English translations. But if you were to look at the original, there's a finite verb there, whom ye slew. And then there's a participle from the verb to hang. And so if you did a wooden sort of more literal translation, it would be something like, whom ye slew hanging on a tree. And the Legacy Standard Bible keeps it in its participial form with an ing ending. And it says something like, whom you, I think, killed by hanging on a tree. Whereas in the Authorized Version, it translates the participle as another finite verb. Whom ye slew gives the conjunction and hanged on a tree, with the assumed subject being, you know, you, whom ye or you slew and you hanged on a tree. And again, White said that's an inferior translation. So I want to look at that issue a little bit. Again, I don't normally deal so much with translation as I do with text, but, you know, translation is obviously an important issue as well. So again, I'm not going to give a full select third part review. Time's not going to allow that. But in this podcast, I just want to deal briefly with the question of, is the authorized version defective in its translation of Acts chapter 5 and verse 30? So why don't we start by going back to the review that James White, or back to the debate rather, between James White and Thomas Ross. And so let me pull that up if I can and share that with you. So here's the debate. And this is the 29 minute, 48 second mark. And again, in part of James White's opening statement, he said the Legacy Standard Bible is superior in various areas like text, but he said one of the areas that it's superior in is in translation. He gave several examples, and this Acts 5, verse 30 was the one of these examples. And so let's listen to what he had to say so we can fairly assess James White's argument against the Authorized Version's translation of Acts 5:30 and in favor of the Legacy Standard Bible's translation of Acts 5:30.
Now, one simple error in translation that is easily recognized but very hard to explain away is Acts 5:30. The King James Version says, "The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom ye slew and hanged on a tree." Think about what that's actually saying. Look at the LSV. "The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you put to death by hanging him on a tree." The participle there is the means by which he was slain was by being hung upon a tree. They didn't kill him and then hang his body on a tree. The King James simply missed the translation of the participle. And so you have to be able to admit, yeah, they missed a translation. The LSV is superior there.
Okay. So again, I think we've got his point. He says that the Authorized Version is a bad translation of Acts 5:30 because it renders the participle as a finite verb. And so it should, he says, be rendered as conveying means or instrumentally. How did you slay him? By hanging him on the tree, by crucifying him, in other words. And so the question is that a fair criticism of the Authorized Version? So let me now share something else with you. And this is a little PowerPoint that I put together so that we could look at this question of the translation of Acts 5:30 a little bit better. And so what are the translation issues related to Acts 5:30? So the first observation I would make is, and certainly James White doesn't present this as a textual issue, but he does present it as a translation issue, and that's correct. Because if you look at the text in Scribner's TR of 1880 and compare that to the Westcott and Hort Greek New Testament, which is sort of the mother printing or edition of the modern critical text, you can see that it's exactly the same. Hatheos, rather, ton pateron hemon, the God of our fathers, hegeron, raised up, yesun, Jesus, and then on humais, dier kairi saste, whom you, and it's from the verb dia kairizo, whom you, literally means something like lay hands upon for the purpose of killing, who you put, violent hands upon, or whom you slew. And then we've got the part that I put in bold is we've got the participle, kremasantes, the aorist participle, and then the little prepositional phrase, epi zulu, upon the tree. And so it's, again, if you look at the text from the TR and the text of the modern critical text, it's the same. So this isn't a textual issue. Again, it's a translation issue. And that is, how should the participle cremas santes be translated. And so one of the things we should note is that this isn't just a matter of the King James Version, although this was a debate about which was a superior translation, the Legacy Standard Bible or the King James Version. But the King James Version simply represents what we could call a classic Protestant English translation tradition. And really, it begins with Tyndale, William Tyndale, who was the first to do an English translation from the original Greek New Testament. And there was a later edition of it in 1534. I've given the rendering of it here as it's printed, not as it originally stood in the original printing in 1534, but this is a modern spelling edition from a scholar named David Daniel. And so this is the way the Tyndale translation of the New Testament put it: the God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom ye slew and hanged on tree. And I added the A. For some reason, there is not an article in front of tree in Tyndale's original. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom ye slew and hanged on tree, or on a tree. Then if you look at the Geneva Bible of 1560 and 1599, again, I'm using a modern spelling edition, the Tole Legge edition, it reads, the God of our fathers hath raised up Jesus, whom ye slew and hanged on a tree. So again, conjunction and a finite verb with an assumed subject that is shared with the previous finite verb, whom ye slew and ye hanged on a tree. The Bishop's Bible of 1568, here I just pulled a translation off that I found online. And this maintained the archaic spelling, the God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom ye slew and hanged on tree. So it's like you can see the Geneva adds the article, and then at least the Tole Legge edition and the Bishop's Bible follows Tyndale. Then you get to the King James Version, the God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom ye slew and hanged on a tree. So this reading, this translation is not unique to the Authorized Version translators. It is, as I said before, a classic Protestant English translation tradition. So it's there in the Coverdale Bible, the Matthew's Bible, we already said the Bishop's Bible, the Great Bible, the Geneva Bible, the King James Version. So this is the classic English translation. And indeed, when you look at the modern translations, you have a change that takes place. If you go to the English Revised Version of 1881, it read, the God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom ye slew, hanging him on a tree. Notice it does not include the word by. It simply renders it so that you know it's a participle, but it doesn't really give an interpretation of what type of participle. Doesn't necessarily say it's a participle of means, an instrumental participle. It simply puts the word out there, showing you that it is a participle. It's got an ing ending. The American Standard Version of 1901, which is kind of the base translation for the whole New American Standard Bible tradition, including the Legacy Standard Bible, it reads, the God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom ye slew, hanging him on a tree. So much like the English Revised Version, it doesn't have the by in there. I'm not sure if there's an earlier one, but the earliest one that I came across was the Revised Standard Version of 1952 that's going to include the by, which is going to explicitly say the participle is to be taken instrumentally. The God of our fathers raised Jesus, whom ye killed, by hanging him on a tree. The New American Standard Bible of 2020, the God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you put to death by hanging him on a cross. That's interesting because it doesn't say tree, which is the literal word there, but it interprets tree as rightly, of course, is with respect to the semantics, as referring to the cross, although the word cross, staros, is not actually there, but the word for tree. The Legacy Standard Bible of 2021 that James White was defending reads, "The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you put to death by hanging him on a tree." So you have a tradition here, the RSV, the New American Standard Bible 2020, the LSB 2021, have make it explicitly an instrumental participle, a participle of means, by hanging him on a tree. And you can see that the modern translations have definitely put an emphasis on conveying that this is a participle and it's not a finite verb. Now, James White made the claim that not only was the authorized version, as a representative of, we could say, he doesn't acknowledge this, but as a representative of the classic Protestant English translation tradition, that it's not only different, but it's wrong. It's defective in the way it renders things. And I actually got in a little Twitter exchange about this with someone, and he was taking the same position. He was saying that this doesn't fit with Greek grammar. This is incorrect. No Greek-speaking person in the first century would have understood, you know, this type of translation. It can't be. And I went back to the Greek syntax book that I used 30 plus years ago when I was in seminary and was first learning Greek. And I have a copy of it here, if you can see that in the little window. But this is by two scholars, James A. Brooks and Carlton L. Winberry. That's Winberry with one N. And this was published by the University Press of America in 1979. And I was using it in my Greek class in seminary in the late 1980s at the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary. And I went back and I reviewed the section in Brooks and Winberry on participles. And I thought, when I heard James White make this argument, that he was wrong to say that it was defective, because I remembered, it's funny how you remember things from 30 years ago, and also just from my reading of the Greek New Testament, that there are many places in Greek where you have a construction, where you have a finite verb followed by a participle. And I knew that there are many places in various translations of the Greek New Testament where that kind of construction, a finite verb plus a participle, is typically rendered in a translation as one finite verb, the conjunction and then the participle is rendered as also as a finite verb. And so anyways, I went back to Brooks and Winberry to check this out. And indeed, they have a discussion on pages 132 to 138 of what they refer to as the adverbial participle. Let me just read for you what their definition of an adverbial participle is. The participle, it says, just like an adjective, sometimes modifies a verbal idea rather than a noun, and is therefore used like an adverb. This use of the participle is often referred to as the circumstantial participle because it describes the circumstances under which the action of the main verb takes place. Again, some of you may be listening to this and you don't know Greek. I hope that you can follow this. This is a kind of in the weeds discussion. But anyways, there's this phenomenon of so-called adverbial participles that follow a finite verb and describe the circumstances. They modify the main verb. And Brooks and Winberry note that this is frequent and complicated in the New Testament. This construction frequently appears, and how rightly to unravel it, to interpret it in a translation, is often complicated. And then they offer 10 possible subdivisions for understanding the thought expressed when this sort of construction, an adverbial participle, is used. And here are the 10 possibilities for translators when they come to such a construction: finite verb and a participle. It could be rendered as a temporal participle, as a telic participle, as a causal participle, conditional, concessive, instrumental, modal, complementary, circumstantial, or imperatival. And you'll notice I put in bold two of those, the instrumental and the circumstantial. The instrumental is the type of translation, understanding of the finite verb and the participle that is given in the Legacy Standard Bible and the Revised Standard Version. They slew him by means of, by the instrument of hanging him on the tree. However, as we're going to see in just a second, another possibility is the circumstantial reading, and this is exactly the way the classic or traditional Protestant English translation tradition renders the participle in Acts 5:30, going all the way back, not to the King James Version merely, but going back to William Tyndale. And so let me just read for you, first of all, the section in Brooks and Winbury. You can see the type here is really, really weird. This is in the pre-digital age. Font looks kind of strange. But anyways, the sixth possibility is the so-called instrumental participle, and it reads, the participle indicates the means or agent by which or by whom the action of the main verb is carried out. The word by will ordinarily be found in the translation. And then the nice things about, one of the nice things about Brooks and Winbury is they give you examples from the New Testament. And so that's exactly the way this is rendered in the Legacy Standard Bible. You know, whom you killed by hanging him on the tree. And so that is a possible translation. It could possibly be rendered in that way. However, Brooks and Winbury say it could also be what they call a circumstantial participle. And again, this would be one of the 10 subsets of an adverbial participle. It could be a circumstantial adverbial participle. And listen to their description. The circumstantial participle, a participle may be used to indicate an action which accompanies the action of the main verb. The action indicated by the participle constitutes a rather loose addition to that of the main verb. The participle indicates something else that happened, an additional fact or thought, an incidental fact. There is no certain parallel in English, and it is difficult to translate literally. The best procedure is to translate the participle as though it were a finite verb and to connect it to the main verb by supplying the word and. The genitive absolute, a fifth example given below, is an act of is in fact a circumstantial participle, although it may also express other ideas such as time. So what they're saying is, it's perfectly cogent. It's a perfectly cogent possibility to render the participle that follows a main verb in Hellenistic Greek by supplying with an English translation the conjunction and, just as you supply the word by in the instrumental case. You supply and then you translate the participle as a finite verb. And so the point is that the Authorized Version translators, drawing upon the English Protestant Bible translation tradition, which goes back to Tyndale, were using a perfectly appropriate way of translating the underlying Greek. They were saying that Peter was announcing to those religious leaders that they had slain Christ and they had crucified Christ. And it's not a matter of they did, it's not a matter of sequential order of those things happening. It's just listing, here are the things you did. You slew Christ, you crucified Christ. In fact, those two things might be in parallel to one another, sort of reinforcing or saying the same thing in two different ways, which is very common in Semitic style writing. And so again, James White, I think, is completely in error when he says that the Authorized Version translators offered a defective translation. So just to sum it up, the Acts 5:30 translation in the classic Protestant English Bible tradition, I should have said, is a fitting grammatical interpretation of the participle. Any reader who is generally familiar with the basic Christian tradition concerning the life of Jesus would not assume that he was only placed on the tree or the cross after he had been slain. I think that's the implication. What he's saying is that the AV translation is confusing because a reader might read that, the God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you slew and hanged on a tree. And they might come up with thinking that Jesus was killed and then his dead body was placed on the cross afterwards. And again, that would be obviously an incorrect understanding of that verse. And I think anyone who has any general familiarity with basic Christian tradition would understand the life of Jesus entailed him first being crucified and then dying. And so I don't think that they would be confused by the traditional English translation. In fact, that traditional translation really stood up for about 400 years. And I don't think there you can produce probably any evidence of anyone showing any confusion about it. So anyways, that's the point I wanted to make on Acts 5:30. Maybe it would be helpful. Let's go ahead and let's go back to the video, and we'll go back to the cross-examination, where there was some discussion of this again. Let me find it. It's at the 1 hour 25 minute or so mark. And so let me go forward. 1 hour 25. Come on. Let's go back just a little bit. Yeah, about let's try it about here. And in light of our discussion now, evaluate James White's questioning and Thomas Ross's response. Here we go.
Is the Legacy Standard Bible's translation of Acts 5:30 superior to that of the King James Version at Acts 5:30?
Let me go to, before you start my answer time, I'd like to look at Acts 5:30. What is Acts 5:30? Okay, now I'm going to answer. So it is true that they raised up Jesus by hanging him on a tree, and it's also true that they slew Jesus and hanged him on a tree. I would actually say that if that's your key debate example of a mistranslation, I think the King James is going to do really, really well because they did slay him and they did hang him on a tree, and that's true.
So Ross's response is semantically, either translation essentially conveys the same information. And so he's saying, an interpretation of Acts 5:30 in a translation that takes the participle as instrumental, as in the Legacy Standard Bible, that conveys the true content, the material content of Acts 5:30, and also the Authorized Version translation, taking it as an adverbial circumstantial participle, also conveys the accurate information. Jesus was slain, Jesus was hung on a tree or on the cross. So let's listen to some more interaction on this.
Again, if you prefer they slew him by hanging on a tree, it doesn't fundamentally change the question, which is, how did God preserve his word?
So the participle there is translated by every English translation that I'm aware of. The New King James translates it by hanging on the tree. The King James is the only one that does it. Are you?
Well, that's a factual error. Again, we pointed this out. The King James Version it does not give a unique rendering in Acts 5:30. It's there in all the classic English translations of the Reformation, post-Reformation era. It's only when we come into the modern era, I think probably the English Revised Version, the American Standard Version, late 19th, early 20th century, that you have the translation shift in Acts 5:30 to using the instrumental rather than using the circumstantial translation. So again, James White just laid out a factually erroneous or made a factually erroneous statement. The King James Version isn't the only translation that has its rendering. In fact, it's not unique to it. It's borrowing on Tyndale and the Coverdale Bible and the Great Bible and the Geneva Bible, etc.
You're literally saying that that is equally valid a translation as saying, whom you put to death by hanging him on a tree.
Well, that's what Brooks and Wenbury say, isn't it? That's an equally valid translation.
I think that anyone who studied Greek grammar says, say you've read Wallace's Greek Grammar Beyond the Basics, there's lots of categories of participle. I am not saying this participle isn't a participle of means. It could be a participle of means, but you've got temporal manner, means, cause, condition, concession, purpose, result. You've got a lot of different categories of participle. They did slay him, and they also hanged him on a tree, and they'd also slew him by hanging him on a tree. That's fine. But go ahead. If that's the best you've got, I think we're going to be doing okay.
Okay. Ephesians 3:9.
Okay, we'll stop there. So James White laid out this point on Acts 5:30. I think we've seen that it's an invalid point. The Authorized Version translation of Acts 5:30 is completely appropriate grammatically, I think thematically. And when it comes to translations, again, the most important thing is its conveyance of the content. I've mentioned many times the Protestant Orthodox view of the double divine authority of Scripture, that in the originals, the Scriptures are infallible and they have been preserved not only with respect to their content, but also with respect to the words. Whereas with translations, what's important is the infallibility of the content and not their formal, the forms in which they appear. But anyways, in this case, it's a completely appropriate translation that we find in Acts 5:30 in the Authorized Version. Well, with that, I'm going to bring this short and final review episode relating to the debate between James White and Thomas Ross to a conclusion. There were some other things in the debate that I thought about addressing, some things I've already addressed before, some of the things that James White says about the Septuagint. I would disagree with. I think he has a novel view on how the Septuagint was used by the apostles or Greek translations of the Old Testament. He seems to think that the authors of the New Testament were somehow correcting things in the Hebrew Old Testament. I think that is a wrong way to look at Greek translations of the Old Testament within the New Testament. He also made a strange statement in there, and I heard him say this at G3, couldn't locate the exact place, but he makes a comment about the book of Jeremiah appearing in different textual forms. And of course, my view is that there was only one inspired text of Jeremiah. There's one canonical text of Jeremiah, and there may be Septuagintal or Greek translations of Jeremiah that are shorter, but those Greek translations are not authoritative. What's authoritative is the Hebrew original. We believe, again, according to chapter 1, paragraph 8 of our confession, that the Bible is immediately inspired in the original Hebrew and Greek. At any rate, I hope that this little discussion on the translation of Acts 5:30 that came up in this debate has been helpful for those who are listening. Believe me, I've got a long list of other topics that I would like to explore. Hopefully we will get back in the groove. I do have another trip coming up in June, and that's going to require some preparation for that trip in the month of May. But I am hoping that I can get back to doing some of these Word magazines. I do enjoy it, and it is a helpful resource for me personally. A lot of times the things that I address in the Word magazine episodes are things I'm thinking about or things that I'm working on. And so it's, believe it or not, it's a good resource for me to come back to, a touchstone for me to remind me of some of the thoughts and arguments and ideas that I've touched upon in study that I can then use in writing and speaking and other things. Anyways, I hope you've enjoyed this episode. I'll look forward to speaking to you in the next Word magazine. Till then, take care and God bless.